Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
On the southern coast of England, there are seagulls flying higher, still higher than before. It's as though they've been hoisted like a flag. When the battle has been won, you can hear the ocean roar. There's a good wind for sailing, and they leave me standing on the shore.
Where seagulls fly. Here we go. It's the Brighton Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with you for another hour and a half on our Friday night fan show special. Brighton now. We've got Sheffield Wednesday coming up at 10. And then at half 10 to finish us off, it is all things the Terriers. We are going to be talking Huddersfield Town. But right now, it is all about Brighton. Quick update before we get to Josh Goldsmith from the Together podcast from the Championship. Quite the ding-dong battle at Hull City. Wow. They took the lead through Leonardo da Silva. Swansea pegged them back with Wayne Routledge. He bagged the equaliser. Marcus Madison with his first goal for the Tigers put Hull back in the lead. Cole Norton 5 minutes later levelling for Swansea. Malik Wilkes putting Hull ahead yet again before Jordan Garrick equalised for Swansea. And just now, Rhian Brewster with his third for the club since joining on loan from Liverpool has put the away side in front for the first time in the game. Coming into this one, it was a no win in four for Swansea, no win in six for Hull, neither in a particularly good patch of form at the moment. Hull pretty much out of the Championship playoff race. Swansea City still very much in it on 47 points. Yes, 6 points adrift of Preston in sixth, but certainly with the way the Championship is going at the moment, they have a chance under Steve Cooper of creeping into those playoff places. In the Premier League, it's still goalless at Molineux. Wolves nil, Leicester nil. Wolves did take the lead through Willy Bolly. Perhaps they got wind of what was going on at Manchester City and are starting to chase down that fifth spot in the Premier League, because that will guarantee, well, actually, we don't know yet. We don't know whether it's going to be fifth place or whether it's going to be the winners of the FA Cup. No ruling has actually been given on that just yet, but we have been confirmed, apparently, that England will get, the Premier League will get four teams in the Champions League next season. This, of course, comes off the back of the news that Manchester City have been banned from European club competition for the next two seasons after being found to have committed serious breaches of UEFA's club licensing and financial fair play regulations. The Premier League champions have also been fined €30 million. That is around £25 million. Naturally, they're appealing to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. They're saying they're disappointed but not surprised. They were aware that this was going to happen. They have previous, of course, in 2014. They managed to strike a deal, which none of us really know how that happened, but they struck a deal whereby they weren't banned, but they were fined for breaching FFP. This is from the Independent Adjudicatory Chamber of the Club Financial Control Body. They've said City have broken the rules by overstating their sponsorship revenue in its accounts and in the break-even information submitted to UEFA for 4 years between 2012 and 2016. They failed to cooperate in the investigation. City have batted it right back. It's going to appeal. Watch this space, because Pep Guardiola just yesterday said that if he doesn't win the Champions League, City might sack him. Jokingly, of course, but there could be something in it now. Not that City sack him, that Pep Guardiola walks, because is Is Pep Guardiola going to manage a Manchester City team that cannot compete in the Champions League? The plot thickens. Stick with us on Love Sport Radio over the course of the next few days to get all the reaction from that shocking news that Manchester City have been banned from European club competitions for the next 2 years. Right now, we are talking all things Brighton. However, Josh Goldsmith from the Together podcast joins me on the line now. Hello, Josh.
Hi, Matt. How's it going?
Yeah, good, thank you. Quite the week in sport, mate. I tell you what, we're going to get on to everything going on with Brighton, of course, in a moment. But firstly, you are a big football fan. This is big football news. What is your reaction to this quite staggering bit of breaking news on Manchester City?
Yeah, it came as a big surprise to me, too. I know that they've always been a bit strange with their money, but still, I didn't expect them to get given a 2-year ban. I'm not at all surprised that they're appealing. I think we all knew that was going to be the immediate response from City. But if they do go through with this, I think to answer your kind of question you were saying there's no chance Pep stays. If they aren't allowed in the Champions League for 2 years, there's just no chance he would stick around. And it would be interesting to see just how many of their players choose to stick around, because we already saw a couple of big players at Chelsea want to leave, and that was only 1 year, so it's going to be interesting.
It is going to be very interesting. And from a football fan's perspective, Josh, and I brought this up earlier, that it's quite refreshing to see the governing bodies clamping down still. They're not turning a blind eye. And listen, there could be an appeal and there could be another golden handshake whereby they say, all right, do you know what? We'll just fine you. We won't ban you. But this has been ongoing now. They haven't let City rest. They've continued to investigate them. I know that this is almost, it's not been a result of what Der Spiegel published last month with the alleged emails that have been floating around the Manchester City office. But the fact that this is still being looked at is quite encouraging, because it goes to show that we can still have some kind of faith in the powers that be.
Yeah, I think you're right to an extent. I think it's good that they aren't letting them rest. I think that this is the right message to put out there. You know, if they're going to bring out, you know, FFP and financial fair play and all this sort of stuff that are going to kind of investigate anything kind of dodgy or keep teams in check, I think it's good that they're actually acting upon it. You know, I think that they could probably do with being more consistent along the line of, you know, if we're going to do this to City now, maybe we could take a look at some of the blatant racism going along in Champions League games and international fixtures and the like. Instead of kind of turning a blind eye to that. But it's a start, at least, that they're kind of showing some kind of responsibility.
It's a great point that you make there, Josh, to be fair. If you're so quick to clamp down on Manchester City for financial irregularities, surely you'd be quick enough to clamp down on, as you say, all the issues going around football at the moment with regards to racism, homophobia, etc., etc. Very good point you make, Josh. And another point I'm sure you're going to be very strong about is the news as well. Not just breaking news with Manchester City this week, mate, but the winter break has thrown up all kinds of stories throughout the football world. Loads of players having a bit of fun, letting their hair down. None more so than you'd say, although perhaps James Maddison on a 17-hour booze session. Perhaps he's an exception over in Dubai. With some other players, by the way, let's not single out, James Maddison. He was out there with other players. But in Spain, Shane Duffy, Pascal Gross, Leandro Trossard and Alireza Yahambak was shown, we're not sure entirely what it was, but apparently inhaling from balloons. I'm going to get your reaction in a minute, Josh, but on Posh Boys on Drive, we had him on a moment ago, David Prutton, reacting to the news that Cardiff City might just start to creep up the championship table. Here's what he had to say on that situation in Spain.
If there's anything questionably from illegal, then that's quite obviously something that has got to be taken very seriously by the players themselves, the employers of those players, and the general kind of ruling section of what football deems to be right and wrong. But if it's just a group of young lads messing around, I mean, it's daft that they should put themselves in that position, and I know it sounds very boring and a bit old-fashioned where they shouldn't be in that position. It's the perception element of it. There's something with the pictures that you see that are in the papers of they've jetted off to all these lovely locations for this winter break, and there's some stood in zoos holding, I don't know, tigers, and it's, I mean, A, who cares? B, what you put into this and how much you are offended or inoffended by it. I honestly don't know, because it's a group of players that are doing something really daft that's going to get picked up by someone who's going to take much delight, if you're a Palace fan, in putting it out there and seeing what the reaction is. It's a non-story if there's nothing remotely illegal about it, but if there's anything more sinister, then it needs absolutely looking into.
And it is being looked into, David Prutton. That was David Prutton there speaking on Posh Boys on Drive. You can catch that Monday to Friday, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. here on Love Sport. And David Prutton there just saying that if it is illegal activity, which we don't know 100% it is, and listen, we say illegal with, you know, a sort of shrug of the shoulder, because this sort of stuff, these balloons, this hippie crack, for want of a better term, is sold throughout shops in the UK still. They haven't been able to properly clamp down on it. I've lost count of the amount of tiny little metal tube things that I see strewn across parks and on pavements, because, you know, everybody seems to be doing them before they go on a night out. But Josh, let's get into this. The club are saying that they're aware of the video that's circulating on social media. They said in a statement this matter is being dealt with internally. We probably won't hear anything else until that decision has been made, whatever decision it may be. But Duffy, Gross, Trossard and your handbags out in Spain on the winter break, what do you make of this?
Yeah, it has been a bit of a firestorm on social media with it all as well. Fans seem to be very split on this. There's either you're totally fine with it or you're totally not fine with it. Personally, I'm on the not fine with it wagon. I think, you know, these are professional athletes that are paid an awful lot of money to play the sport that they're playing. And I totally understand that they're taking a week off, and I'm totally fine with them kind of letting their hair down and doing what they have to do. But at the same time, I think there are things that they should and shouldn't be doing. And this isn't a particularly good image for kind of kids to be seeing in the future, if this is kind of the players that we're looking to represent us as a club. And for me, it's also a case of, you know, if I'm really interested to see how the club take this and deal with it, because there's more than one time we've seen on social media where the Albion are very, very quick and very decisive to kind of take action on fans who are posting incredibly offensive things on social media or just doing things that really kind of disrespect or kind of besmirch the name of Brighton and of Albion as a club. And it's going to be interesting to see how they then react with their own players who are being paid an awful lot of money and obviously have a lot more of an effect than some idiot fan on Twitter. I'm intrigued to see how they're going to react to this, what they're going to do. If it was me and I was Brighton, I would probably keep my mouth shut and keep it in-house and deal with it however they need to deal with it and say it's been dealt with. But it's going to be interesting. And personally, I just think it was a stupid thing for them to do. I've had a couple of people say, well, it was stupid of the person to video them, but if they weren't doing it, then they wouldn't have to be videoed. So I think it was just silly all round.
There's so much that we can take from this particular argument. So many different ways that you can come at the debate, Josh, because let me put this to you. If Brighton had won, you know, 5 games in a row going into this winter break and these players are on in Spain having a bit of fun, caught doing this, would we or would Brighton fans be viewing this differently as opposed to the fact that it is just one win in 11 for the club leading into this winter break? If it was under better circumstances, better form that this Brighton team were in, would we be having the same reaction?
I think you're right. I think it's inevitable that we wouldn't have the same kind of reaction. I think there would be a lot more people willing to kind of turn a blind eye to it. I suspect it's probably the same people that were kind of totally fine with us when we got promoted and, you know, the players were out in the Brighton City Centre for 2 or 3 days getting hammered with the fans and kind of throwing away the title. And that was a kind of, a lot of fans didn't really mind because they'd earned the right to party. I was still kind of frustrated then because I wanted to go all the way and win the thing. But for me, I think it would be different. But I don't think in terms of representing the club and, you know, supposedly being role models, I don't think it really changes anything. I think it's the wrong option that they took.
So how difficult is it then for Premier League footballers now, footballers in general, Josh, and you are a Brighton fan and you've seen these footballers out there having a bit of a laugh and a joke. Now, all we've seen is what? Less than a 10-second snippet of their time in Spain. Should they be inhaling from balloons? Probably not. Is it going to affect their performance when they come back to action on the 22nd of February? They've got Sheffield United away from home, haven't they? So they were doing this 10 days before they are due to be back in action. Yes, they're going to be back in training, but if they all come out and if they're all selected, we don't know what the disciplinary procedure is going to be, but they come out at Bramall Lane and put in the performance of their lives, this is all going to be completely forgotten. They are letting their hair down. Part of the problem is that these footballers, I referenced this on Posh Boys on Drive yesterday, almost like they're caged beasts. They are put under so much supervision. They are having to go through these strenuous pre-season regimes. They have to perform 100% day in, day out in training and then in front of thousands of fans at the weekend under so much scrutiny now from pundits, from analysts, from the managers, from the fans, and everything, like you say, is beamed all over social media. The player might have the worst touch in one game that he's ever had and then he becomes a viral sensation for doing something bad. They're just letting their hair down. But on the flip side, social media, like you say, why are they filming it? It's such a difficult line to draw because on one hand, they want to go and have a good time. On the other, they're having too much of a good time.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Like, if they come out against Sheffield United and Palace, which are right after them as well, which is obviously massive, if we go out there and we play Palace and Sheffield United and we take, like, 4 points off of them, you know, it'll all be forgotten. But if we take nothing off of the pair of them, I think even the people who are kind of acting in the let them do what they want to do, who cares camp, are going to then turn around and say, well, if you weren't doing this on 10 days off, we might have won these games. I feel like it's one of those double-edged swords of we're so fickle in terms of what results mean for our attitude towards the team and the players. It's bizarre. There's nothing else really like it.
Yeah, you're right. It's such a difficult one to agree on, I think, because you'll have some people who go, do you know what? They're just letting their hair down. Two people say, well, do you know what? They can't let their hair down. And then the debate just rumbles on and on and on. I do think there is a perception that we think footballers on their days off should actually be at home, like doing press-ups on their kitchen floor or something. It feels like they're not able to have any kind of free time. It's so difficult. The extra layer, Josh, before we draw a line on this particular debate on this, is that this video was posted seemingly by a Crystal Palace fan with the Twitter handle of @ZahaGoat. So we're led to believe it was a Palace fan who just quite fortunately happened to be in the same bar as these Brighton fans, these Brighton players in Spain. What are the odds?
It's wrong, actually. I was right there on ground zero when the first video dropped. It was an Albion fan that put it up.
Was it really?
Weirdly enough. Yeah, it was. I can't remember his exact Twitter handle now, but it was an Albion fan that put it up, and a lot of fans told him to put it down. Unsurprisingly, Palace put a hold of it and have promptly re-uploaded it for the world to continue to see. But yeah, it was an Albion fan, and the question then has got to be, like, why are you kind of sabotaging your own club in a way? It seems bizarre that an Albion fan would think this simply has to go on social media when they kind of must have known the possible reaction it would get.
Interesting. Was not aware of that, Josh. Thank you for that enlightening information here on the Brighton Fan Show. Balloongate will rumble on. Next up, we're going to be reflecting on that draw with Watford last week.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
It's the Brighton Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined by Josh Goldsmith of the Together podcast. A quick update from the Championship. And while I said that Swansea had taken the lead through Rhian Brewster at Hull in a rather ding-dong battle, they've got an equaliser. Hull City bagged a late, late equaliser through Tom Eaves. A thriller in the Championship. 4 apiece for Swansea and Hull. So it's still just one win, no wins in 5 for Swansea and no wins in 7 now for Hull. So that winless run carries on for both of them, but what a game to watch. Incredible stuff. 4 apiece, Hull and Swansea. Right, Josh, let's get into the game that was 1 apiece last week between Brighton and Watford. Quite the ding-dong battle this one as well. Abdoulaye Doucouré putting the away side in the lead. You'd like to think perhaps from a bit of playing out in the back nonsense from Brighton. Aaron Moy dispossessed on that occasion, but luckily the home side managed to get an equaliser, not through their own player. Oh no, the only shot on target that Watford had in that second half was on their own goal. Adi Mariappa smashing one into the top bins. It ended up 1 apiece. What was your reaction from the result?
Initially, I was delighted with it because a point from that position is great. But at the same time, we really should have been getting more than a point against a team that are, again, just like the last 3 games, a relegation rival. And my second take is we've got to stop only deciding to play once we go a goal down, because we're just killing ourselves, only deciding to pick it up once we've conceded a goal.
In terms of the argument that Brighton played out from the back a bit too much last Saturday, and I was watching the game and I thought they just need to, and I know it's such an easy argument to place, but just clear your lines for crying out loud. And in particular, they were caught out for the goal. They did not learn their lesson.
Yeah, it's the price you pay for wanting to play the way that Potter wants to play, and I'm fine with it happening if it happens every now and again. I think we've seen it maybe 3 times this season, and it's not too bad to only be 3 out of 27 odd games, but It's still something that is always going to be frustrating. And, we gave them one chance and they took it and they scored. And I wish we were better at doing that, because that's something that we're not able to do very often this season, and we've got to get better at it.
We spoke about the run that you mentioned there of those clubs in and around the relegation zone that Brighton were facing. Seems like ages ago that we had that conversation, because it's now over. You had Villa, you had Bournemouth, you had West Ham, you had Watford. 4 games against those teams in and around you. No victory in those 4 games. Just 3 points. Now, if you go back to the beginning of October, this was a Brighton team 8th in the Premier League. Of course, slipped right back down now, very much in those relegation places. When you look at those 4 games and the fact that there is no victory, I'm sure it does concern you. Would you have taken 1 win and the rest as defeats, or do you think it's better that you got the 3 draws?
I'm better that the draws, because that's a couple of less points for each of the teams we're playing. And the only reason I think that I'm not more concerned is because we've been lucky in that every team around us has had just as terrible form. If we had been, a couple of points from these last 4 games and everybody else had gone on a couple of good runs, we would have been well in the bottom 3 now. But everybody else around us has found ways to capitulate at the last minute too. So we've been really lucky in that the teams around us have not been able to capitalize on the fact that we haven't been able to do the same thing. So it seems like there's a lot of teams not wanting to make themselves safe at this stage when they have the opportunity to. It's bizarre.
And conceding that first goal, like you said, Brighton have failed to win any of their 24 home Premier League games when conceding that first goal. Surely that's something that Graham Potter has got to put right. Or is this down to Graham Potter, Josh? Is this down to the manager? Is this down to the players? Is this down to the system? What do you think?
Because it's obviously been taking place since before Potter was in here. So it's definitely something he needs to work on. But at the same time, there's got to be some kind of psychological thing now maybe over these players. It happens all the time. And a lot of these players are the same players that we started our Premier League campaign with, 2 or 3 years ago. So I'm wondering if there's just that psychological factor over them that they don't think they can come back. But against West Ham last week and then Watford this week, as soon as we go a goal down, we seem to put everything into fifth gear, and we come back and we end the game thinking we could have won that by 2 or 3. I would like us to just start doing that before we go a goal down.
Yeah, it would make perfect sense, wouldn't it? 3 points clear of those relegation places, as we've already said. This weekend, of course, no action. The fellas still away in Spain, having a bit of fun. They're probably back from Spain now, to be fair. I imagine they were called straight back after that video surfaced. But two games involving two teams in and around the relegation zone. Villa hosting Spurs, Norwich hosting Liverpool. You'd like to think, as a Brighton fan, you might have a good weekend without actually playing.
Yeah, absolutely, because two defeats there and we're sitting in the same spot we were 2 weeks ago. So I think obviously we've got to be hoping that that's how it ends. They're not easy games for either of them. Obviously, Norwich are in big trouble, like anybody playing Liverpool at this point. And Villa have still got to play Tottenham, and Tottenham are obviously a decent side. So I think that it's a good set of fixtures for us to have to sit and watch, because the odds of those two getting results there are quite low indeed.
Josh, pleasure having you on as always. Thank you very much for joining us. That was Josh Goldsmith from the Together podcast, speaking all things Brighton. He's not happy with those players out in Spain inhaling from those balloons. The club have said they've launched an internal investigation. Perhaps next week, perhaps before their game with Sheffield United, we might have a bit more news on that. No doubt it will rumble on throughout the week, the debate as to whether players can have fun in the winter break, whether having too much fun in the winter break, or whether they should just be focusing on football. This is the Brighton Fan Show. This has been the Brighton Fan Show. Football is all we are focusing on. And next, it's all about Sheffield Wednesday.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's, with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.